I don't know how the musicians can feel this or not, but there's a lot of energy here this evening. When you're, Mike Killerdrew and I talk about this there at my CM under a week, but you can feel up here, you can feel the energy from all you people singing. It's amazing, really, it's beautiful. And I'm kidding, it's just, I don't know how Father Anthony feels about that being new here, but it's wonderful. It's just high energy. I love that. It feels good. In fact, I don't know if I told this story or not. I know Mike was here last week. I have, when we had these different mass schedules, so you don't hear these stories, but this is real quick about Joshua, the 2-year-old, who will turn 3 in October. If you heard this, just still laugh, or what do you want to do with it? So Hannah had to go to Memorial because they had meet the teacher's night, and she had forgot to get a babysitter. She's called me, says, Uncle Tom, can you babysit our kid watch? Okay, I said, sure. So all three of the kids were there. Again, Josh, Brett was doing his thing, Sylvia's doing her thing. And just Josh and I in the living room, he's kind of in a playful, cuddly mood. He's laying on his back. His mom had already told me the story, so I said to him, I said, Josh, where'd you go today? He goes, dentist. I said, did he look in your ear? He goes, no, my mouth. I said, did you cry? He said, no, I screamed. I just absolutely love it. I thought, his mom told me he did scream, so he wasn't lying at all. He did scream. Father Attila finally got away, I think on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday, do you know? I'm not sure. Monday was Labor Day. Tuesday, his car broke down, for those who don't know. The BMW broke down. He was frustrated because it happened on Saturday. They do nothing on Saturday in Evansville, nothing on Sunday. Labor Day on Monday. I think it was either Tuesday. They got it worked on it. And Wednesday. Some Tuesday or Wednesday. So late at night, actually around 6 o'clock, he's packing this thing up, okay? He's in the garage packing the rest of his stuff up to get off. Now, already he's frustrated because he's so late, okay? So now all of a sudden, he's dripping with sweat. Honestly, his car is packed. I mean, literally packed. Everything's in there. And so then he said he had one more thing to do, put his bike on top of the car. And so I was there, Carla was there, people were just there. I was kind of joking with him a little bit, teasing a little bit with him, and he was okay still. So he can't get the bike on the rack because he has two instruments that he has to use to put the bike, to secure the bike on this rack for the trip to Florida. So he doesn't know where it is. He's frustrated, and we're trying to help him a little bit. And of course, with all the teasing goes on, he had to take everything out of that trunk. It was in the bottom where the tire was. Okay, serves him right. Good for him. I did feel sorry for him, but he was sweating. Man, it was a mess. And he finally got it. He got everything. He's down in Florida. He goes to his parish, St. Anthony, St. Anthony in Fort Lauderdale. Starts on Monday. It's the day of his assignment. So anyway, he'll be down there 2 blocks from the ocean. The silence can be deafening. Family members live their lives being held hostage by the silence. Parents and children and spouses, they feel hostage to the silence. They tiptoe around the other person. Not in our family. We'll suffer. We'll be silent. Not in our family. Better to suffer in silence. It may be alcoholism. It could be drug addiction, addiction to pornography, physical abuse. It may be a misunderstanding in a broken relationship, a divorce, a child's rejection of family, the family culture. It could be a gay son or daughter. It could be religion that creates a tension within the family. Regardless of whatever the silence is, or the issue is, whatever the cause is, the motivating thing is fear. Fear is the controlling agent of the silence. Say nothing. Don't bring it up. If you say one word, he'll explode. It'll only get ugly if we bring it up. You'll never change their minds. What good will it do? Let it alone. And silence. All the while, parts are screaming in agony. Hearts shrivel and die. The spirit dies because of the silence. Matthew 18, says that Jesus says we don't have to have silence within the community. Matthew 18 speaks about talking with community members and family members. The whole chapter is that. We start out right at the very beginning of Matthew 18. It's about humility. It's also about, it's about the lost sheep. How this man or a man or woman will leave these and go find the lost sheep. How crazy. But looking for that. And then we have our passage today. And right after it, we have how to forgive. Not once, but 70 times, seven times. Today what we hear are characteristics of Jesus. Of how to approach another person in the community. Because what Jesus does not accept in a community is broken relationships where people don't talk or angry or the pride has been hurt or whatever it may be. And so the community kind of falls apart. Matthew 18 is all about that. He outlines a process of reconciliation among divided members of a community. The whole point is that we cannot tolerate these breaches of personal relationship, these separations of personal relationship within the Christian community. This is what Jesus calls us to do. We're not talking about a perfect community. It's not going to happen. We're talking about a community. It's not an ideal community. The community is you and I. It's you and I. That's the community. If I love community, community will be destroyed. If I love the people of community, community will grow. So we're called to, and in a real way, and we know what it's like. We live in a culture that canonizes individualism. We live in a culture that canonizes that. I believe what Gandhi says, at least his famous quote, and there may be more, and Father Anthony may know more about that, being from India, but Gandhi said this. I love it. I love your Christ. I have trouble with Christians. We get to live the message, to abide by the message of Jesus, to realize we are a community of Christian people, that everybody who comes into St. John the Baptist should not only feel welcome, but should feel safe, should be safe, no matter who they are, no matter what they are. Any 12-step program, any swell prep has the epitome of what it means to be hospitable and to be safe, to be a community. You can go to any 12-step program meeting or any of those meetings that do the support. You can walk in and you're welcome. Not asking where you're from, what did you do, what got you here. Welcome. Glad you're here. Because we're all for one reason. It's the same with our faith communities. We're all here for one reason. Not because we've done bad. We've all got the brokenness. But again, you've heard me say we're here to be in the mystery of God and to sing these love songs to God. We are called not to be perfect, but we're called to be a community of grace. A community of grace where all are welcome. To build the community is very difficult. It's very hard. And it costs us some time to walk up to someone that we may be estranged with and to extend the forgiveness or reconciliation. We have to work hard in a culture that doesn't call us to do these things. So we need to ask God for grace and courage to be prophets of reconciliation and instruments of forgiveness, to speak God's words of compassion that the devastating silence of anger gets rid of. We need to offer the balm of compassion and understanding and mercy, especially to the wounded and the marginalized, and those who hurt. We need to restore the bond of God's love that's been broken by misunderstanding, by intolerance, or self-centeredness. We can hear the words of Jesus should abide in our hearts, that we build this community. The community at the heart of it is Christ the merciful one, and we extend that same mercy to one another.